we go. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Fan Upstate. Great to have you, Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the show. The Ingles Markets studio phone lines are open. 844-FANFONE. That's the Renewal by Anderson of Carolina's fan phone. 844-326-3663. The text line is open for you at 71307. 71307. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N, and we'll read them on the show. You can also shoot me a tweet at the Rob Brown Show. You can shoot Lonzo a tweet at Lonzo on Word, W-O-R-D. Or you can get to everybody on the platform at the Fan Upstate. All the different ways to go. And of course, don't forget our Voice Notes app is now available for you. Well, the Odyssey app and the Voice Notes feature. You go to the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. I don't know why I felt the need to say it three times. You go to the Odyssey app, search for the Fan Upstate, click the heart icon. It'll take you to the Fan Upstate page. In the middle of that page, there are two buttons, a big orange Listen Live button, which means you can anywhere with cell phone service and a cell phone, of course. You can click Listen Live and listen to the Fan Upstate in real time.
You could also do it on your laptop or your tablet.
Any digital device will do. All right? Get the Odyssey app on all your digital devices. Like and search the Fan Upstate. Click the heart icon. Go to the Fan Upstate page. You can listen live 24/7, 365. Next to that Listen Live button is a second button. It's a little circle with a microphone on the inside. You click that microphone button, and when you do, you can leave a 60-second voice note that comes directly to me. You leave that 60-second voice note. It can say anything you want to say, all right? It is completely uncensored. It comes directly to me, and you can send it at any point, day or night. Go to the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, click on that microphone button, leave your 60-second voice note. Anything goes, anytime. We say something during the show you want to respond to, go leave a voice note. Will you say something, you got something at lunchtime, maybe you can't call or text while you're at work or on your drive in, go leave that voice note when you get to your lunch break. Maybe it's 2:45 in the morning, you've knocked back a half a handle of Beam, and you want to say something hilarious, use the Voice Notes app.
How much is that? Half a handle?
A lot. Enough.
Okay.
Enough.
All right.
Very enough is the answer to that. So there's all the different ways for you to get in touch with us here on the show this day and every day. It is 7:03 in the morning. You have 56 minutes and 12 seconds until the workday officially begins. And when you get to the office, you're going to want to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you want to know what's going on in the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, you need this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get your workday started. When you get to the office and you take that first break, this is what you'll be talking about. Let us dive right in with item number one. Ball game over, series over. Pete Alonso, a three-run ninth-inning blast off of Brewers closer Devin Williams last night, ended a slump for Pete Alonso, the polar bear, that dated back to September 19th. Pete Alonso, of course, in his free agent year. This will be his last run with the Mets, unless they resign him, which they very much might. There are a couple other potential landing spots for Pete Alonso, but if this is his last run with the Mets, he started it off with a bang last night. A 3-1 changeup that he crushed out to deep right field, stunned the Brewers' home crowd at American Family Field. The Mets win their first round series 2-1 over the Brewers and find themselves on the way to an NL East matchup in the divisional round against the Philadelphia Phillies. The divisional round begins in earnest tomorrow afternoon at 1:08 p.m. when the Detroit Tigers take on the Cleveland Guardians. Cleveland with the second best record in the American League, trailing only the New York Yankees, who were two games better. The Yankees at 6:38 tomorrow evening will host the Kansas City Royals in that best of five matchup. Over in the National League, 4:08 first pitch. That is when the New York Mets will host, scratch that, will be hosted by the Philadelphia Phillies. At 8:38 p.m. tomorrow evening, the LA Dodgers will host the San Diego Padres in that best of five series. The MLB divisional round is officially set. It starts tomorrow. And like I said in the last hour, playoff baseball is the best. It's just the best. I think my favorite thing about playoff baseball, really about baseball as a whole, there are other sports. I include basketball on this list. There are other sports that are team sports, but those team sports rely on individual performances. You know, you, in basketball, you got to have a point guard who can distribute the ball in order to win. But at the end of the day, I think baseball is the best illustration of a sport that is both a team sport and a sport that relies on it. You can have the best defensive baseball team in the game, but if your pitchers are allowing teams to get 11, 12, 13, 14 hits a game, that's going to tax them a little bit. You can have the best pitcher in the game, but if on the other side the bats are hot, it may not matter as much. The individual versus team mentality of baseball, I think, makes it one of the most incredible postseason sports in American professional sports. Detroit, Cleveland, 1:08. New York, Philly, 4:08. Kansas City, Yankees, 6:38. San Diego, Los Angeles, 8:38. As the divisional round gets underway, let's get to item number two. It turns out, perchance, maybe Kirk Cousins really is him. Perchance, Kirk Cousins is a dude. Last night, 509 yards of passing offense and four aerial tutties for the old man.
You need to stop reading the Revolutionary War stuff. That's where all these words are coming from. I just figured it out. Perchance, that's a word that was used back.
No, I've used perchance many times on the show.
I don't believe you have.
No, I'm telling you I have.
Okay. All
perchance
right.
is one. There are a few. Parlance is one that's working its way into the lexicon now. But perchance is one I've used for a very long time.
Kirk Cousins seems like someone who would be into Revolutionary War. 100%.
Yeah. 100. Kirk Cousins is me, except I say sometimes. Kirk Cousins is me, except I say unless I'm around Lonzo, because I'm a...
Which I appreciate.
I'm a respectful person. Yeah. Unless somebody else comes in the room, and then it's game on.
What do you mean, like Girl Scouts or something?
Wait. You know who else is joining the ranks? You know what? This audio actually works. I was saving this for the Blitz. You know who else joined the Kirk Cousins, Rob Brown, old man club? Pete freaking Alonso. Pete Alonso, while setting up for the NL wildcard round in a game
you
three.
You get why that was funny, right? You know?
Because he and his wife, he took time away from the baseball team to go to a pumpkin patch with his wife, and he picked out his own pumpkin and then loved that pumpkin so much, he brought it to the game.
Because Pete picked the pumpkin at the pumpkin patch. That's why that was funny.
Very good. Very good. I'm going with, because I am also a sucker for a good trip to the pumpkin patch or the apple orchard.
Orchard?
Orchard? Orchard.
We was at the orchard. Yeah.
I am a sucker.
The baseline just got to you, and you just immediately went into that. I got you.
Okay. I am also a sucker for a good trip to the pumpkin patch or the apple orchard or the winery. I will go 100% of the time. All right? 100% of the time.
Is there a place where you can get all three of those?
If there's not, there should be. Okay. If you were telling me somewhere I could go and I could start my day with a nice pumpkin stout. And then I could move over to a lovely crisp apple cider. And then I could finish my evening with a nice Chardonnay made from a red clay white grape. I will never leave. I would be there every day. I would say, if you will set up TVs for me to watch college football, I will be here from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. every Saturday, every fall.
I'll just ignore him. That's Rob the Wino. It's okay.
And Cider-O and Stout-O. 100% I would never leave. All right? And I would Uber home responsibly. So, me.
If you never leave, you don't have to go home. I'm just saying.
Me, Kirk Cousins, and playoff pumpkin Pete Alonso in the Colesbro Club. Anyway, Kirk Cousins good at football. 42 of 58. They threw the ball 58 times. Remember, I want to take you back one day. One day. Because one day ago, I read you the story where Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, was asked, hey, how come Kyle Pitts had zero receptions in this game? Do you remember what Raheem Morris said when he was asked about that? Raheem Morris said, and I quote, stats are for losers, end quote. And what did Rob Brown say in response to that? I said, you know what this is? This is an NFL coach who realized he screwed up. This is an NFL coach who realized that we ain't dumb. This is an NFL coach who realized that his fans looked at the passing offense that was built in Atlanta and went, yeah, you should use that. We put a lot of money into your ability to throw and catch the football. You should utilize that more. I said, this is a coach trying to defend himself from what is a very valid criticism. And then I said, watch out. Watch out. Because Atlanta is going to go aerial. Not the Little Mermaid. I mean, through the air. Watch out. Because Atlanta's going to want to open up the passing attack. 58 passing plays. For Kirk Cousins' shoulder is hurting today.
What, do they not have a running game?
They do. They ran the ball 18 times. They threw it 58. It's not that they don't have a run game. It's twofold. Number one, Bijan Robinson's kind of slowed down a little bit. Sophomore slump is here. Now, he did have 61 yards on 12 carries. That's over 5 yards a carry. But he also, that number is going to come down if he has 22 carries as opposed to 12. It's the fact that Raheem Morris got called out because they built a passing offense and he did not use it. And so he went, I got to fix that. And just like I said he would, because I know ball, he over-adjusted and they went way to the air. Now, granted, it was working. Kirk Cousins completed 42 of those 58 passes for 509 yards and 4 aerial touches. But I told you that was going to happen.
And all this does is make people who are fans of that team go, and why did they waste that draft pick?
They didn't waste a draft pick because Kirk Cousins is also 60 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
You couldn't tell that last night.
Yeah. No, you couldn't tell it last night. Let's talk in week 14 and see if the pace is the same. And more importantly, because remember, what else has Rob Brown said over and over and over? Take the time to let rookies develop. You know what Michael Penix Jr. has that Bryce Young did not, that Caleb Williams does not?
Hype.
You're mean. You're a mean person. You're a very rude person.
7 days without power will do that to
you. Yes, it will. That's fair. That's fair. The thing that Michael Penix Jr. has that Bryce Young does not, that Caleb Williams did not, and this is why Aaron Rodgers said earlier this week, Jaden Daniels is the exception, not the rule. He's got a year or two to learn how to play football at the NFL level. He's got a year or two to sit and watch and grow and develop. The longer that he gets to actually learn NFL football, the better Michael Penix Jr. is going to be for it when Kirk Cousins finally shows his age, which was not last night. 509 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Falcons win 36-30 and now hold sole possession of first place in the division. Let's get to item number 3. I don't know how interesting this is yet. I do think it is going to be interesting down the line. Michael Jordan's 2311 Racing, along with other small team Front Row Motorsports, they have filed an antitrust lawsuit against NASCAR and the France family. In the lawsuit, a copy of which was obtained by the AP, they said, quote, "The France family and NASCAR are monopolistic bullies, and bullies will continue to impose their will to hurt others until their targets stand up and refuse to be victims. That moment now has arrived." In the lawsuit, those two organizations, and I will bet you some other small teams will sign on to this sooner rather than later, the two teams filed a federal antitrust lawsuit against the Stock Car Series and Chairman Jim France yesterday, claiming that the new charter system limits competition by unfairly binding teams to the series, its tracks, and its suppliers. The lawsuit was filed in the Western District of North Carolina in Charlotte after 2 years of contentious negotiations between the privately owned National Association for Stock Car Automobile Racing and the 15 charter-holding organizations in the Cup Series. NASCAR, back in early September, presented their final offer on what is essentially a revenue-sharing model. 13 organizations signed, with most saying that they did so under duress or they felt threatened to do so. But Front Row and 2311 both refused to sign. They hired Jeff Kessler, a top antitrust attorney who has represented the players in all four major professional North American sports, helped push the NCAA towards an era of paid college athletes, and won a landmark equal pay settlement for members of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. The lawsuit seeks details from NASCAR and France, quote, related to their exclusionary practices and intent to insulate themselves from any competition. Kessler said he would ask for preliminary injunction that will enable the two teams to compete in 2025 under the new charter agreement while litigation plays out. The team say they will seek treble damages for anti-competitive terms that have ruled the sport ever since the initial 2016 charter agreement, end quote. Michael Jordan said, "Everyone knows I have always been a fierce competitor and that the will to win is what drives me and the entire 2311 team each and every week on the track. I love the sport of racing and the passion of our fans, but the way NASCAR is run today is unfair to teams, drivers, sponsors, and fans. Today's action shows I'm willing to fight for a competitive market where everyone wins." The worst thing here for NASCAR is that Michael Jordan has more goodwill as an athlete and a person than any NASCAR athlete, team owner, pit crew chief, or representative ever. Michael Jordan is the most well-known NASCAR personality in the history of NASCAR, and he never touched a steering wheel. But if he's the one at the forefront of this lawsuit and other teams jump on board down the line when they're clearly unhappy with the contract, I'm real interested to see if anything comes of this. We're going to follow this story very closely. NASCAR at Talladega this weekend. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The voice notes feature available on the Odyssey app. Go to the Fan Upstates page, click on the little microphone button, and you can leave a voice note up to 60 seconds like Greg from Lyman did. Greg said,
That's pretty good.
Egads!
I was acting.
I am an actor. A thespian. That's pretty good, Greg. Well done. You can leave your voice note, the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, click on the little circle microphone button, and whenst thou dost, thou'st may leave. I don't think that's how that one works. You can leave a 60-second voice note, as Greg did. Greg, appreciate that. And by the way, please do know, it is uncensored. You can say whatever you want, all right? I will screen them before they play them. Don't think you're going to slip one by old Rob Brown.
When he says screen them, he means he won't play them
until I listen to them off the air. Then I'll play them on the air if they're good.
He might add some, and by the way, add some bleeps.
If your voice note sucks, I'm not going to play it. All right? Make it not suck. Like Greg from Lyman. That's pretty good. Lo, Kirk Cousins, thou place the goodest footballs. I feel like that's pretty good. Appreciate that, Greg. You are welcome to send yours in as well. Go to the Odyssey app. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the microphone button. Leave your 60-second voice message for us to play live on the air. All right. Couple more things to get to here on the radio show. Let me ask you. About this great one. There is coming out in the next day or two going to be a change in interview policy for NFL players. Effectively, locker room access to NFL players is about to be greatly limited. Cincinnati Bengals offensive lineman Ted Karras explained it yesterday. Ted Karras went on to explain that one of the protocols that will be undertaken is that individual players will still be available to be interviewed by the media. They will be working out effectively schedules from this point forward, where if you want to interview, say, Joe Burrow will have X amount of meeting time where he will do interviews outside of the locker room. They will also have a protocol in place that allows reporters to schedule individual one-on-one interviews with players. So say you want to interview Joey B and you'd like to get an exclusive with him, you can put in for that interview time. It will be worked into Joe Burrow's schedule. They are not, according to Ted Karras, they are not going to diminish the amount of interview time available for the media. They are not going to diminish the amount of access that they have to the players. They simply are going to say, you can't do it in the locker room. You guys can still come in the locker room at designated points and times. That post-game cool-off period is still in play. You can still come in the locker room, but interviews will be conducted outside, which I don't know why a media member is going in the locker room if they're not going to be doing interviews, but whatever. And he said, look, effectively, what we're trying to do here is create a world where a small player's billy club isn't shown on the air.
Really? Really? After all that, that's where you went? After all... Dude,
I can't be too serious too long.
Okay.
It was getting uncomfortable.
All right. Yeah, like that wasn't uncomfortable and isn't uncomfortable every time you do it. This is awesome that they're doing this.
It's the right call. It's the right call.
It for sure is. I'm a little surprised because I thought you might have been on the other side of this. So, but yeah, I mean, again, let the dudes go in there and unwind a little bit and, you know, like take a shower and not have to worry about a bunch of people being out there waiting with microphones and cameras.
I mean, for me, one of my favorite things the last couple of years.
Have you been in a locker room interviewing before?
Yeah, okay. I have. All right. And I will tell you, as a journalist, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I've done it at a couple of colleges, not really any of the big ones, but a couple of the local colleges I've done it. I did it for one NFL game. I don't like it. All right. Now, it's not because of the fact that, you know, there's dudes running around in their skivvies. It's not because every now and then you're going to see a billy club flopping around. Like, whatever. It's a locker room, right? I go to the gym, and there's more old man you-know-what hanging out in my local gym than there is in a locker room. Like, whatever. It happens. I've seen it, all right? We've all seen one. To me, it is more about what Karras said, and I apologize for being all sentimental, but again, that sanctity of the locker room, that is supposed to be their player's spot. And I know that for most of us, we want that access, demand that access. We want to hear from players. We want to hear from coaches. And that's because we invest, right? We invest our time, energy, money. I've said this how many times on this show. And if I invest in something, I want to know that my investment is into something worth being invested in. This is why, you know, when you invest in a company, you follow that company. You hear what the board of directors has to say, what the CEO has to say. It's the same thing. We want that access. I am not saying there shouldn't be access to players and coaches post-game. I'm saying that there should be that access, but like, let them put some pants on, for God's sake. Let them put the billy club away before you start shoving cameras into their faces. Let them handle their business before you start. Yes, ask questions. I think every man on the 53-man should be available for interviews after the game. I think every coach should be made available for interviews after the game. At the end of the day, these guys are playing a game that we all invest in. But while they are responsible, these guys are getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars. Yes, answer to the people who put that money in the pot for you to make that money. On the flip side, I think sometimes we forget they are still people. They are still people that are playing a game, yes, but they are still people. And because of how important this game is to us, because of the fact that we put billions of dollars into the cupboard, into the coffers, into whatever you put them into.
Yeah, wherever you decide to put your money. Yeah.
In them mayo jars out in the backyard.
There you go.
Wherever, it is intense. It is very intense. It's a physical game. It's a violent game. These guys understand that when they go out there, they put their bodies and in some cases literal lives, DeMar Hamlin, on the line.
It's still real to me.
It's still real to me, damn it.
They put their bodies on. Okay.
Because of that, I think it is fair to say they can have one freaking place where they can go for 5 minutes and not have a video camera and a microphone jammed in their face, especially since half the people who do these post-game interviews and practice interviews ask dumbass questions. How can you walk me? Can you tell me what went wrong this Sunday? Yeah, we got our asses kicked. We sucked. What do you want? The point here is give them that space. The locker, get the cameras out of the locker room. My favorite thing the last couple of years has been when we're throwing cameras in the locker room for the post-game speeches from the coaches, you know, they're handing out the game balls and all that. I think some of the players have taken it upon themselves to see what various states of undress they can get to before the cameras stop showing up. There was one, I think 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago from the Titans. And my dude was just straight up in like the bikini briefs and nothing else. Right, I mean, right in front. And everybody's like, oh, why is he on camera? You're in the locker room. That's where the lockers are. That's where the changing of the clothes happens. You don't want to see a wang. Get the camera out of where the wangs are. It's not that complicated. 844-326-3663. Text to 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Clemson v. Florida State, South Carolina takes on Ole Miss tomorrow. Both of these games feel like statement games to me, or at least games where there is an opportunity for a statement to be made. And here's the thing. A statement's going to get made either way. Win or lose, both of these teams make a statement. Now, South Carolina enters their game as a 9.5-point dog. In fact, I'll go check that line to see if it has moved at all. But as of 2 days ago, they were a 9.5-point dog. Clemson enters their game on the road at Florida State down in Tallahassee, Florida, as a 14.5-point favorite. South Carolina's actually gotten a point back. You were now 8.5-point dog. So the public right now seems to be on the side of, not on the side of the Gamecocks to win, but that they can cover that spread. Clemson, their spread stays at 14.5 right now, a 2-touchdown and some change favorite over FSU. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm taking both teams to cover. I think both teams cover. That is not calling for an outright South Carolina win. That is not calling for a Clemson to win by 35. But as I said, and as I'll say again, I absolutely think both teams cover. And I think both teams cover because I do think both of these programs understand that this weekend is a statement game for them. For Clemson, the statement is, it's still our conference. For Clemson, the statement is, we had you last year, and we let him off the hook.
For South Carolina, you mean?
No, for Clemson against Florida State.
Oh, okay. All right.
They believe they had the Noles last year, and they got off the hook. And I think the statement for them is, we still run this conference until someone takes it from us. Now, Maybe it is because.
Yeah, but they haven't won the conference in a couple years, dude.
I understand. I understand. But I also think it's been in a couple of years. I think you can chalk some of it up to anomaly. Last year's Florida State, the more we look at it, or at least the more we look at what's happening this year, feels like an anomaly. It is what it is. Should have been in the playoff, yada, yada, yada. But it felt like an anomaly. They're back to where they were pre-last year and only last year. Now, you do still have to worry about that team that's down in Coral Gables, Florida, for sure. But as of right now, you don't have to worry about them, excuse me, until you get to the ACC title game, because Miami's not on the regular season schedule for Clemson. I think the opportunity for Clemson as well, the statement they get to make is, what's been happening, how it's happening, what's going on right now at Clemson? We're back to being who we are, and we want you to know it. We want America to know it, that whatever it was that was missing, whatever it was that we have been missing the last couple of years, we done found it. Cade is hitting big plays. Granted, he ain't perfect yet. I go back to that game last week. Could have been another two touchdowns on the board for Clemson last week against Stanford on long, deep pass plays that Cade just underthrew. And if he hits wide receivers in stride on those seven routes, on those nine routes, Cade Klubnik's got another two tutties through the air. I think they get a chance to prove that what you've seen out of them, it's legitimate. What you've seen out of them, it's real. What you've seen out of them, Clemson is Clemson again, right? Everything they've done since they hung 66 on Appalachian State. They put 59 on NC State. That's a good team. They put 40 on Stanford. Not a great team, but a very gritty team. I actually very much agree with what Dabo Swinney had to say about them. Very gritty team. You hung 40 on them. It honestly should have been in the 50s. Now they do it against Florida State. Go put up a 40 spot, a 50 spot, a 60 spot on FSU. Go show them that they are that it's your conference and it's not an anomaly. And I think that's the statement Clemson can make. For South Carolina, I think the statement is what you've seen out of us. The win over Kentucky, the absolute contest that we gave with Georgia last year, the trajectory is up. Maybe last year didn't go entirely the way that we wanted to. But your expectations of us should have been higher. Your expectations of what we are capable of should have been higher. The belief in us, or lack thereof, is unjustified. This is an Ole Miss team. I had a conversation yesterday with Cole Bryson, one half of Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson. I had the conversation with Cole yesterday because we got to talking about this game. And Cole echoed something that I said earlier this week on BetMGM Tonight with Ryan Horvath and Brad Evans. Teams that get upset are generally more dangerous the next week, right? Because they're not only, especially if it's an upset like Kentucky versus Ole Miss, they're not just good, but now they're good and they're ticked off. That's dangerous. But see, South Carolina, they got a little bit of an advantage here. We talked about this with Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News yesterday. They have a little bit of an advantage in that, number one, while Kentucky was playing an absolute slobber knocker against the Rebels last week, South Carolina was at home resting up, getting Lenora Sellers' leg back under him, getting Raheem some time on the R&R bed. Last week, there was a big break. The second thing is, when you have the bye week that is a week ahead of a massive contest, and I think it is very fair to say that this one is, that's an extra week to look at tape. That's an extra week to put a game plan together. That's an extra week to throw some wrinkles into the game. So the statement here for South Carolina, should they win this game, is not just, hey, we're here, your expectations of us should be elevated. What you've seen out of us is going to be less of an exception and more of the norm moving forward. But the statement that can be sent by Shane Beamer is, I absolutely belong in the discussion with a guy like a Lane Kiffin, an Eli Drinkwitz, a Mark Stoops. I absolutely, when you come into the season annually and you are doing your SEC coaches power rankings, I don't deserve to be 11 or 12 or 13. I deserve to be 5 or 6 or 7. Shane Beamer gets the opportunity if he has a good game plan together with the extra week to study the tape. Shane Beamer has a chance with the extra week of preparation and practices. Shane Beamer has a chance with a rested team going up against a team that was an emotionally charged physical game last week. Shane Beamer has a chance to prove that he absolutely deserves to be mentioned towards the top of the rankings, not the bottom. That's the statement there. I don't think I can put into words how big the games are for both of these teams this weekend. Last week for South Carolina, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, for South Carolina against Akron, that was just a game that you come out, you do what you're supposed to do, you win that game going away, you don't let Akron be even in the game, and you do what you're supposed to do.
I agree with you, but as I pointed out yesterday, but it also gave you something extra. Your backup quarterback got to play the entire game and play well.
Sure.
So now, if Lenora Sellers were to go down to another injury, while it's still a drop-off, you still have confidence in your backup now, for sure.
It's a drop-off to a guy who's got the XP. It's a drop-off to a guy between that and, because remember, it wasn't just that. He was playing in the week before that as well.
The week before, he came in because of injury, so he didn't have the preparation that he had the following week.
Sure, without a doubt. But he came in that LSU game when Lenora Sellers got banged around a little bit, and that's valuable SEC experience. But the next week he got time to practice as QB1.
Maybe if he would have had the experience that he had the following week coming into that LSU game, maybe they win that game.
I mean, quite possibly. So the point to me with both of these schools, great one, tell me if you agree or disagree. This is, for the two big schools we cover, this is a statement weekend for both of them. For Clemson, it is a statement that what you've seen in the last three contests is not a fluke. That all the criticisms and the critiques about a boring, predictable offense are out the window. All the criticism and critiques that Cade Klubnik can't orchestrate a big play offense out the window. All the criticism and critiques that the rest of the conference has caught Clemson out of the window. For the Gamecocks, this is an opportunity to make a statement that you may still be a middle of the pack Southeastern Conference team, but you're one that is moving towards the top of the middle of the pack or the lower end of the bottom of the conference.
As opposed to where you were, which was near the bottom.
For sure.
For a couple years now.
For sure.
So it will be proving that you've taken that next step.
That's it to me. That's exactly the statement that could be made. That is exactly the statement that should be made. We are no longer a bottom rung team. You can expect now, because remember, football, like everything else, is progression. It is taking a step forward more often than you take a step back. That was the phrase we used about South Carolina all offseason. They took a step back from 22 to 23, they took a step back. Will they take a step forward or step back from 23 to 24? If you win this weekend against Ole Miss, which we now know is a beatable team, and again, Danny Cannell said it earlier in this week. I think I played the audio for you earlier in the week. But Danny Cannell said this about Ole Miss. I'm not a Danny Cannell guy. I think he's a hot take artist. I think he's a poor man's Paul Feinbaum. Okay. He's correct about this. Kentucky punched Ole Miss in the mouth, and Ole Miss was not capable of responding. Now, the bad news for South Carolina, if we're keeping it a buck on both sides, is Ole Miss now knows what it's like to be punched in the mouth. They now know what it's like to step up and go toe-to-toe with a tenacious team. They now know what it's like to go up against a team that is going to give you everything they got for all four quarters, which is what the Gamecocks will have to do. There is no letting off the accelerator of this. It's got to be attack, attack, attack from the opening kick to the final whistle, for sure. And now Ole Miss has had that happen. Now they've got that experience behind them, which they did not get in the first 3 weeks. Now they have it. And that could be dangerous for USC. But the thing is, they failed with it. They failed with it. So even if they know how it feels, they don't necessarily know how to react to it yet because they didn't react to that well. So if I'm South Carolina, I'm being uber aggressive. I'm taking shots down the field. This can't be one, even though you're going to want to in spots. I don't think this can be one where you just sit back and ride the rocket over and over and over. I think this is one where you've got to attack. You have got to give your young up-and-coming wide receivers a legitimate opportunity to go make big plays. This is one where I got to find those athletes on the outside down the field. I got to get Ole Miss on their back foot. On the defensive side of the ball, kill everybody. Club Jackson Dark like a baby seal. All right?
Stop it.
You got to go get that guy. I need him uncomfortable.
You don't have time to fight it. No. No.
You got to go get him. If you disrupt Ole Miss's offense, if you take the timing and the chemistry away, and you keep them out of the end zone, like Kentucky did, now all you got to do, then you can run the ball. So we'll see. We'll see. It's a statement weekend for both teams. A very important weekend for both teams. It's also very important that you stay tuned for the next 60 seconds while Lonzo enlightens you about everything in the world of sports with this Sports Flash.
The Atlanta Falcons now hold possession of first place in the NFC South after knocking off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night in overtime, 36-30. Kirk Cousins threw for 509 yards, yeah, that's a lot, and four touchdowns with one interception, including 154 yards and a touchdown to Drake London and 105 yards and two touchdowns to Darnell Mooney. Tampa Bay quarterback Baker Mayfield went 19-24 for 180 yards and three touchdowns and a loss. Major League Baseball divisional round is set after New York Mets shocked the Milwaukee Brewers with a Pete Alonso three-run home run in the top of the ninth that sent the Brewers home. New York will take on Philadelphia in the NLDS, while Los Angeles will host San Diego after the Padres swept Atlanta on the American League side. Detroit Tigers will face the Cleveland Guardians, and Kansas City will face the Yankees. Tune in this Saturday at 12:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Citadel right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan, Upstate.